I always forget that we do cold.
I know, because
until you remember, remind me that.
The only times I remind you are when I'm like, oh fuck, we don't have anything, and then I'm like, because
I never know you're recording.
That's yeah, especially now because you're not wearing headphones. I can really sneak up on you and do it.
This is like 3 weeks. I'm going on like a solid month of not wearing headphones.
Well, I mean, it's 2 weeks, but it's like a month worth of episodes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I like a whole month without wearing headphones.
Yes.
Hopefully by July I can find them.
Or not. I mean, do you think it's affected your ability to podcast in any way?
No, because I forgot I wasn't wearing headphones.
Yeah. I don't notice discernible difference between Dave with headphones and Dave. I think you're the same professional, whether you have cans or not.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about the cans.
And I think that's where we're going to cue the theme song. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Ted is coming. Dave, my co-host, is here.
Hey, I'm here.
That's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Ted is coming is our tagline for this week. You may have heard that tagline before. You may not have.
If you've seen the movie it came from.
Maybe. Right. If you do. If you have seen the movie it came from, or if you can guess what movie Ted is coming came from, let us know your guess in any of the following ways. You can send us an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess directly on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or fire up the Twitter box and do whatever you do on Twitter at us or to us in our direction at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct in your guess, and if we choose you, you can have a prize package coming your way.
Yep.
It probably will not include a stuffed teddy bear.
No, especially one that talks.
Indeed. It may. No, that's going to sound really creepy. It also won't include a pair of underpants, which was, for a large portion of Mark Wahlberg's career, that may be what he was best known for, is low riding his pants and being the front man for the Funky Bunch. But he's actually become a movie star. Now, I will say it. Damn it. When you headline a Transformers movie, when you are the lead in a Michael Bay movie, you have become, in fact, a movie star. So, being that Transformers is out in theaters this week, we thought we would take a fond look back, or at least a look back, at the career of Marky Mark and run through our five favorite Marky Mark performances. A lot of times in the podcast, this is where we try and deconstruct our process on what our criteria was for this list. I think it's pretty self-explanatory this time. It's movies that had Marky Mark in them.
Yeah, but you know what's weird is that I've never considered myself a Marky Mark hater. I enjoy Marky Mark. I didn't realize until like going through his filmography to try to narrow down to five how much I like Marky Mark. If you look at his filmography, I don't think I've hated a Marky Mark movie that wasn't directed by Tim Burton. I don't think I've hated a single movie other than Planet of the Apes.
What about the M. Night Shyamalan one?
I hated that one too. Instead of those two movies, I think out of 42 credits, those are the only two that I like despise. And I mean, I don't love many of them. I don't love Marky Mark movies, but they're enjoyable, which and just his career. Like, just look at, you know, he came out with Basketball Diaries, a small part. A lot of times when musicians jump into acting, you don't expect much from him. But then, like, within a couple years of beginning acting, he does Boogie Nights, which was, like, a big-time movie, like, that had Oscar praise. And he
may show up on my list at some point.
And he led that movie. But then, like, I mean, it's just, he's done a good job of doing I think everybody expected him to turn into a kick, punch people in the face kind of movie star. And he's done that. But he also has done Boogie Nights and other movies that have gotten critical acclaim and maybe one that should have gotten more critical acclaim. But it's just a weird career. I want to talk about Transformers for a second, though, because how often do you have a movie star jump into a franchise that's four deep? And unless that movie star is The Rock.
I was just going to say Dwayne Johnson.
Which makes
sense.
Does
that often.
Because I think after Pain and Gain, I think Michael Bay wanted The Rock to do Transformers 4, and when he couldn't, took Marky Mark. It just feels weird to me because Marky Mark doesn't need Transformers. And Transformers doesn't need Marky Mark. Transformers 4 would do what it's going to do with or without Marky Mark. It just seems like a weird weird fit. But yeah, I'm already feel the vibrations talking, jump into this this Funky Bunch conversation.
Somewhere Anthony Mackie is going, why couldn't I have headlined Transformers 4? I don't get it.
I like Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, I do too. Obviously, we like Marky Mark. Why don't you tell me your fifth favorite Mark Wahlberg joint?
My number five comes from very early in his career, going all the way back to 1996, the movie that makes me always want to ride a roller coaster. It is Fear, directed by James Foley, written by Christopher Crowe, starring Marky Mark and a very young, beautiful Reese Witherspoon. I really like Marky Mark in this movie. Like, it wasn't just like a creepy movie. It's just, he was legitimately creepy for this guy who was a heartthrob, that was on the cover of magazines, that women of any age, you know, wanted to get with. He came in and portrayed a guy that you would regret getting with. Like, he was legitimately creepy. And for a throwaway, like, teen drama, which is what this was, it was a teen thriller, like, and at the time, pretty much just a throwaway movie, he was really good and really convincing and just really, really creepy. I mean, a lot of that's due to the brutality of the script, but the carving the name in himself and the sweetheart guy he is when he's trying to win her over, and then the turn into the just evil dude that wants to have her back. Really, really good performance that covered quite a bit of range for this guy that, you know, 4 years ago was starring in the Good Vibrations video. It was just really, really cool to see, because I don't think anybody expected it. Like, I think they expected him to show up in, like, throwaway teen thriller movies, but to get that kind of performance, I don't really think people did. And it obviously turned some heads, because he got legitimate acting work after that, and he's made we're 20-some years later, he's still a big-time, I mean, he's a big-time movie star now. Like, I would think he's one of the bigger movie stars out there right now. I think Fear is kind of the first launch of that put him in, you know, like the second lead role, and he just kind of stole that movie again with a pretty good cast. Like, William Peterson was good, Reese Witherspoon was really good, the roller coaster scene was really good, but he still pretty much like stole that movie.
You mentioned it probably did turn some heads. I think it had to have turned heads within Hollywood, because I don't remember that as being a huge success, like either from a box office perspective or just culturally. I don't think, you know, people really saw that movie. Maybe they've gone back and seen it later, because it is, you mentioned, it's this kind of the start of Wahlberg's career, but very early on for Reese Witherspoon as well. So you go back and look at those two, and it's not a surprise with what they did in Fear that they both went on to be really successful actors.
Yeah, and it's looking back to last week, our episode, this movie could have been there, because you have William Peterson's character, and this movie is basically every father of a daughter's worst nightmare.
Marky Mark shows up at your door.
Stay away from the bad guys. Don't have them cut our dog's head off and put it through the doggy door. Like, you don't want that as a parent.
No, I don't think so. That is just the prologue to Dave's How to Be a Father book, which is due out next fall. That's just
don't cut our dog's head off and put it through the doggy door.
Right, that's not what you want. I don't think there's any good parenting advice in my number five. Again, it's a movie that we have already referenced one time on the podcast today. It is, in fact, directed by Michael Bay. Why not? The reason that we're doing this list is because of a Michael Bay movie. So why not start the damn list with a Michael Bay movie? It is 2013's Pain and Gain, starring Mark Wahlberg, Dwayne Johnson, and Anthony Mackie. Before this movie came out, I really wanted to like it. I wanted to give Michael Bay the benefit of the doubt, because I like Dwayne Johnson, I like Marky Mark, and I like Anthony Mackie. As it turned out, the movie is pretty entertaining. Usually when I want to like something, a lot of times it just falls flat. But this one, not a great movie, but I think all three leads are very entertaining as meathead bodybuilders turned kidnappers. And I think that The Rock as the good-natured Christian ex-con is really, really good. He's obviously the biggest of the three, but giant teddy bear, kind of a teddy bear on steroids. The whole movie actually feels like one of those goofy English crime type capers, but on good old American steroids. The situations that these guys continue to get themselves in become increasingly ridiculous, and it's a wonder how at any point the police don't catch these dudes. It makes you kind of question the police. But when you add to the fact that this is based on a true story, your mouth kind of drops. Like, there's absolutely no way that this could happen, but more or less it did. And as a fun crime movie, I think it's really an entertaining kidnapping flick.
I was very excited about this. I'm not a big Michael Bay fan, but
neither of us are.
Liked the idea of him doing this. But then it came out, and I kind of heard some stuff. I heard your reaction to it, and I just kind of – I'll watch it eventually because I do like Marky Mark, Mackie, and The Rock.
It's streaming on Netflix now.
Yeah, and it is. So it's easy enough to watch. I haven't watched it yet. My number four, though, moving on to my number four, go back to just last summer starring Marky Mark and another actor who we've done an actor-centric episode on. I believe when this movie came out, actually.
I think it was.
Yeah, Denzel Washington in Two Guns for just last summer. Yeah, it's not an Oscar movie. It's not Boogie Nights. It's not The Fighter. It's not any other movie that I'm probably spoiling by mentioning already. But it's a
sure. Yeah, do you want to just keep going? I've got four other ones.
It's a fun action movie. Like, it's just a good, fun action movie. Their chemistry is fantastic. And I heard that Marky Mark and The Rock had great chemistry in
Pain and Gain.
So just their styles, Denzel and Marky Mark working together. They worked together very, very well. And it was just an action movie, but there was a little bit more to it. And you can generally expect a little bit more to it when it's Denzel Washington. He doesn't really just do – they're not always just throwaway action movies. There's usually a little bit of depth there and a little something there. And there was enough there to keep me interested. And I really liked it, and it was just a fun time. You know, Paula Patton, James Marsden, Robert John Burke, a bunch of people. Bill Paxton shows up in this movie. Just a lot of fun. I mean, Marky Mark covers a wide gamut of movies, and this is one that he does very, very well. It's just fun action, and I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Two funds up. My number four is also a buddy cop movie with Mark Wahlberg, again, with some really great chemistry. This time with Will Ferrell in Adam McKay's The Other Guys from 2010, starring Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, Samuel L. Jackson, and there's that man again, Dwayne Johnson. I hate for my Mark Wahlberg list to get hijacked by The Rock, but so be it. The scenes with Johnson and Samuel L. Jackson are absolutely incredible. It's the most over-the-top, self-aware action that you may ever see in an action movie, possibly only rivaled by what looks like 22 Jump Street. But you contrast that with Ferrell's ridiculously straight-laced character. You have a great movie without even getting to Wahlberg. But the chemistry, as I said, between him and Will Ferrell is really, really good. And he really doesn't have to do the heavy lifting with the comedy. Pretty much the entire movie, Ferrell is just kind of lobbing it up for him. And that shows how great Will Ferrell is, because he's not really known for being the straight man. But he does it in this phenomenally. And after watching this, you know, it really shouldn't come as a surprise how good Wahlberg was in Ted. This kind of shows you that the guy's got good comedic timing, and if he's working with someone that is really, really a great comedian like Will Ferrell or like Seth MacFarlane, that he's going to be able to do a great job in those kind of roles. And I wasn't expecting much from the other guys. I like McKay's work. Ferrell, I'm kind of hot and cold on, but this was a really, really fun action movie.
This was higher up my list, but for list's sake, let's say it was my number three and move right into my number three, which was The Other Guys. Absolutely love this movie. I adore this movie, and I'm not I don't hate Will Ferrell, but I'm just not into a lot of stuff he does, but he was so good in there. I mean, Will Ferrell, typical Will Ferrell characters, take a character, take away all self-awareness. That's what Will Ferrell does. But it's usually the other way. Like, it's usually so insane that with no self-awareness, like your Ron Burgundy or Ricky Bobby. It's usually that way he goes. But in this one, he goes the other way, and he's the straight man, but he's so straight that he becomes the crazy guy.
It's a parody of...
So essentially, Marky Mark is the straight guy in the thing, and it just it's such a good dynamic. I love the movie, but it's just it is weird. The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson steal all their scenes. The highlight of the movie for me, Michael Keaton, which that's a highlight of almost any movie Michael Keaton's in. But
the cast was so good.
The TLC references from Michael Keaton make me laugh every time. But just the chemistry with Marky Mark, and I think Marky Mark is probably one of the better. You could put him on screen with anybody, and I think his chemistry is going to be good because his chemistry is going to come up in my number one unless you beat me to it and I change it to match yours. But he's just
I don't think so.
He plays off of people very, very well, and he's kind of like Rogue. Like he's the Rogue of actors where he feeds off of what else is going. If you put him in a scene with an Academy Award winning best supporting actor, like
or two.
Yeah, he's gonna feed off of that. And he's gonna be up to that level. You put him with a Denzel Washington who's just suave and just the perfect comedic timing.
Who's an Academy Award winning actor?
Yeah, that's Marky Mark's gonna do that. You put him next to Will Ferrell, he's gonna be funny. Put him with Seth MacFarlane, he's so good at pairing up with people that it's really good. And The Other Guys is a perfect example of that because it's such a fun movie, and he still pulls off the action. Like this is again, I think when Marky Mark, best case scenario for Marky Mark coming out of rap into movies is, oh, he's just going to be an action movie star. And
if he wanted to be, he could be.
And he's done that, plus everything else. So it's like he pulls it off, and this kind of lets him show off the comedy chops and the action. So I really love The Other Guys. It's full of legitimate laughs.
My number three, not really full of legitimate laughs. And of all my movies, this is probably the least Marky Mark jam that I have. It is a pretty decent movie from 2006, directed by Marty Scorsese. It's The Departed, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, and Jack Nicholson. Like I said, this is not a Mark Wahlberg movie. It's carried almost exclusively by Leo, Damon, and Jack, and they are all absolutely amazing in the movie. And I really liked the casting, especially for Damon. He's not usually the bad guy, but I think he played it really, really well. Maybe I'm just racist, but I as much as I liked Infernal Affairs, I think that this movie was much easier to follow. Maybe it was because I didn't have to read any subtitles or because the names were easier for me to remember and it was easier for me to keep the character straight. It makes what is sort of a convoluted storyline a bit easier to follow, but a really good story nonetheless. I don't know how deeply Wahlberg had to reach in his bag of acting tricks to play a hard ass from South Boston, but he absolutely was believable in the movie. And I guess to have two cop movies right back to back from Wahlberg, both different sides of the coin there, but I thought his character, of all the characters in the movie, I mean, I think Nicholson's character was pretty consistent. The other ones, there was some gray area with pretty much everybody, except for Wahlberg's character. Again, he was maybe, say the flip side of the coin, he's maybe the flip side of the coin from Jack's character, where you have a guy that's, purely evil, and then you have Wahlberg's character. I guess I can't say he's purely good, but he has good intentions.
It's been a while since I've seen this movie. He's in this movie, 15 minutes?
Yeah, 10? It's not very much.
He's not in this movie much, but he makes his presence known. Yeah, he makes his presence known. This is one I kind of thought you'd have on there. I don't love The Departed like a lot of people do. It's a fantastic, it's a fine movie. It was just never super good for me. My number two, we'll say it was my number two and not originally my number three. I've talked about what people thought Marky Mark would just be that action star. Was coming out of what he was doing was probably best case scenario to him. And to prove that wouldn't have been a bad career for him to have, 2007 Shooter. It's basically Marky Mark as a sniper who gets betrayed that, the tagline is yesterday was about honor, today is about justice. So it's very much The Bourne Identity starring Marky Mark. And I feel like this movie kind of went kind of unnoticed, kind of under the radar, which is a shame because Marky Mark was awesome in this movie. Like, it's a good, legitimate action movie, but not action movie, just dumb action movie. Action movie in the vein of The Bourne Identity, where, there's enough to it to keep it going. There's enough intrigue and mystery. And Marky Mark is so good on screen. Kate Mara doesn't hurt. But for a dumb action movie, essentially, like, I really like Shooter. And I really like that Marky Mark. This is the kick, kick, punch, punch Marky Mark that he does so well, but he doesn't do a bunch. And, I mean, yeah, he's done his action movies. He had Max Payne, which I hope I'm not stealing your number one by mentioning Max Payne.
No, actually, Max Payne is number two. We're about to get into that.
But he's so good, and he doesn't do it actually a whole bunch. Like, he's had a very wide career where he's done a lot of stuff, and I say he was, you know, could have been an action star. Like, there's a negative connotation there, but I would kill for 10 more, you know, shooter-type movies from Marky Mark, because that's how good he was in it, and he was good at it. And I really like this movie, that I feel like when Marky Mark comes up, this movie doesn't really get any love or any attention, because I feel like it kind of went under the radar as just another dumb action movie, but it's actually a really good action movie.
You're probably right. And I think when you do talk Mark Wahlberg movies, there's a couple like elephants in the room that you can't really get away without mentioning. And you've already mentioned both of them. They are my number two and my number one. My number two is the earlier of the two, directed by PTA, starring Mark Wahlberg, Burt Reynolds, Julianne Moore. It's Boogie Nights from 1997. I'm not breaking any news here. It is a great movie. And as much as it might have blown people away that the artist formerly known as Marky Mark can actually act, I think Burt Reynolds steals this movie. Anything you might have been thinking about Wahlberg actually having some acting chops is demonstrated to a much greater degree by Reynolds. He was nominated for an Oscar and won the Golden Globe for this movie. There are so many great, distinct, and memorable characters here that I think Wahlberg kind of gets overwhelmed to a certain extent, but I'd argue that it's not really his fault. I mentioned Burt Reynolds. Julianne Moore also nominated for supporting actress for this movie. That's before getting to Philip Seymour Hoffman or Luis Guzman.
John C. Reilly.
Right. The guys in his own entourage are so compelling that you kind of... Dirk Diggler is not even the most interesting character of his friends. Heather Graham, like, there are so many great characters in this movie. It's absolutely like an ensemble cast. But where I give Wahlberg a lot of credit is not only does he play the dumb, naive guy perfectly, but I think it would have been easy to fall into the trap of, holy shit, look what's around me. I need to overact. And never once did he do that to try and get to the level of these other outlandish characters. He did exactly what he was asked to do. He was the glue in that movie, and he held together the rest of these performances. And I think if you had somebody that tried to match what everyone else was doing, this movie would have been a train wreck. But he was amazing for what he was asked to do in this movie.
And you touched on the exact point I was going to make. He was the glue of this movie. I mean, you have so many scene-stealing performances from everybody, but you take Dirk Diggler out of the movie, you don't have a movie. So you don't have a way to get from, you know, Julianne Moore
That's
scene
all.
Yeah, to the great Philip Seymour Hoffman stuff or the Burt Reynolds stuff. He's the glue that sticks it together. And he's good enough. He keeps you on that trip. He's not trying to steal the show. And, I mean, how intimidating is that got to be? 5 years ago, he was starring in the video for whatever. So, I mean, this
is Good Vibrations.
This is right after Fear, which was kind of his first, like, you're the second lead. Now you're the lead with all these Oscar-quality actors. Like, yeah, C. Reilly and Seymour Hoffman maybe weren't blowing up
early
yet.
Early for that, but...
Yeah, but you have the Burt Reynolds coming out. Julianne Moore was hot. You have this great cast, and PTA hadn't really made his mark yet. I mean, he did Heart 8, which kind of went under the radar, but...
I mean, I think a lot of people were put on the map from this movie.
Yeah, so maybe we're overdoing, like, maybe it wasn't as intimidating for him as it is looking back on it. Because you look
like
back...
Like, it should have been. You should have been scared shitless.
Yeah, like, if you make that movie with that cast now, that's an amazing, amazing feat to step into, but... At the point,
yeah, because Philip Seymour Hoffman's dead.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
But like, I guess they weren't really. I guess nobody really knew what PTA. Because now, if PTA does a movie, you know it's an Oscar contender.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I couldn't have said in 1997, "Oh, this is a PTA movie," because there was no such thing.
It's not like
Paul Thomas Anderson wasn't. Oh, Jesus, that's Paul Thomas.
Like
Anderson.
We talked about it with Inherent Vice when we used to do news episodes when he cast Catherine Waterston as the lead, the female lead in Inherent Vice. Which is kind of a huge deal. Like, she's done really not much But to get the lead in a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, like, he does movies, and it gets at least 2 to 4 acting noms. And it generally gets a screenplay nom, a best picture nom. Like, he knows what he's doing. He puts out the right movies. So, you know, maybe it didn't have that feel in 97 because it was really the first PTA movie. I mean, it was his second, but it was the first one to really put him on the scene. So, yeah, maybe it wasn't as intimidating as we're giving it out, but he was perfect in that movie. And it would have been easy because, okay, who's C. Reilly? Who's Seymour Hoffman? Burt Reynolds has been off the map forever. I can out-act these people. And he didn't try. He did exactly what he needed to do, and that's why that movie is so beautifully put together. You could almost say it got the touch.
Yeah.
It had the magic.
For him to be able to do that, I got to believe the guy actually sings better than that. But, oh, my God, to really kind of make fun of, yeah, I actually was a pop music star, and now... Yeah, just him singing that. I love it.
But my number one.
Singing it.
Yeah.
In quotes.
back to my number one. It's another one I brought up about chemistry. We dedicated a whole episode to this when it came out in the theaters. It's his most recent one up until Transformers came out this year. Just came out on DVD a couple weeks ago, maybe. It's this year's Lone Survivor. Much like Boogie Nights, where, yeah, it's a Mark Wahlberg movie. Didn't feel like a Mark Wahlberg movie. It was more on more ensemble. Exactly what Lone Survivor is. You take away the title Lone Survivor, you take Marky Mark off the poster, you take his name off the above credits, and you have an amazing movie that's just an ensemble piece. My only complaint is that it was marketed as a Marky Mark movie when it was, you know, Emile Hirsch, Taylor Kitsch, and Ben Foster. Again, I think all three of them had better performances when the four of them were together. Does that mean they're better actors than Marky Mark? I just think, not really. Foster probably, but I just think he knows when to step back and when to, you know, kind of steal the show. And he didn't have to steal the show in this movie. He let Peter Berg do what he did. And I thought it was a wonderfully directed movie, beautifully acted by all of them. Like, he didn't overshadow him, even though Marky Mark is 10 times the star of Ben Foster, Taylor Kitsch, or Emile Hirsch, but he didn't portray that on screen because he kind of sat back. And for the first hour of that movie, it was Taylor Kitsch's movie, and he was perfectly fine.
It becomes his movie by default.
Yeah, and, you know, like, Ben Foster acted circles around him. Nothing against Marky Mark's performance, just I was that impressed with what Ben Foster did, but I've always been a Ben Foster fan. It's just such a good movie, and it's basically taking, like we talked about, the other guys pulls, like, oh, his action chops with his comedy chops and put them together. This brings, like, his Oscar quality acting chops with, you know, his action chops and kind of puts them together. So he does a wide array of movies, and he's very good at pulling his strengths from certain genres and pulling them all together. And he was really good in this because you have that feel of brotherhood, that feel of I'm not gonna let them go, and then just a straight fear to just, like, when he wakes up, like, just that fear of not knowing who these people are, then to that gratitude. And it's just what he went through in this character progression, the whole arc of the character, he did it very, very well. And I don't want to take away from his performance by saying he was the weakest of the four. It's just, I think it was more him stepping aside and knowing that it eventually becomes his movie by default, so let them shine while they're there. And they did. And then he, again, was the glue. He kept it going. And very, very good movie, Lone Survivor from this year. Absolutely loved it.
I like this movie an awful lot. I didn't want to put it on my list because, and I'm not going to get into it in great detail now because, like you said, we did an entire episode on it. If you want more Lone Survivor talk, I think it came out in January, February.
And yeah. I think it was on my list of last year because it was one of those
limited release last
December.
Year. It'll probably be on my favorites of this year because I didn't count it last year, probably just so I could have another movie that I liked for this year because it is slim pickings at this point. I like this movie a lot. I think I would have liked it more if Wahlberg wasn't in it, and it's nothing against him. I just found it distracting because, again, it was marketed as a Mark Wahlberg movie, and you know, I didn't know the story. I didn't know which one of the guys had survived, but when
you know,
Wahlberg,
yeah,
there.
And I think you know, I think we're making the same point, but I don't think we're conveying it well. I don't think either of us are against Marky Mark being in the movie. I'm I don't like that it was marketed as a Marky Mark movie. Like, I don't like that his name's above the credits. I don't like that the poster is just his face. Like, then you do lose. It's called Lone Survivor. There's one face on the trailer. Spoiler alert. Like, right. Obviously, like, yeah, you can know the story if you want. But, I mean, the whole story is about brotherhood. The whole story is about, you know, Marcus Luttrell didn't go through this alone. Like, he went through it with his brothers. There were four of them in the main ones, and then the Eric Bana subset, too. They did it together. And I feel like isolating Marky Mark for the marketing of the movie kind of
did a disservice to the story.
Did a disservice to the story. That's exactly, that's, you know, I wouldn't have come up with that word, but that's the exact word I was looking for. So I feel like it was a marketing fail because I feel like it hurt the tone and the story. But when you look at it as a film, if I just looked at it without seeing the poster, without knowing anything, it's a fantastic movie. And we talked about it in January. It's a bummer the Oscars completely looked over this movie, because of the movies last year, is it one of the 10 best movies released?
I think so, yeah.
I think without a doubt was I think Foster was one of the 5 best supporting performances last year. Like, it was a great directing job from Peter Berg, where you don't expect it. And Oscars usually eat that kind of stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, we said it is Peter Berg and Taylor Kitsch. Like, when last we saw them, they were making Battleship.
And it wasn't just like, oh, that's good for Taylor Kitsch, or no. Oh, that's good for the director of Battleship and whatever.
No, it was
wonderfully really good job.
Wonderfully acted by everyone.
Yeah, so it was a shame, but I really like this movie. My number one was almost what your number one is, but I figured it would be on your list, so I tried not to mention it earlier.
My number one, well, you did mention it earlier.
I alluded to it. I didn't mention it by name.
No, you didn't. Or did you?
I don't believe so.
I might have to go back and check the tape.
I think I tried not to.
Fair enough. The number one, obviously, is a movie that did get the credit that Lone Survivor did not get for Best Picture, or I would argue Best Director for Peter Berg. David O. Russell got a fair amount of credit, much deserved, from his 2010 flick, The Fighter, starring Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, and Amy Adams. The reason that I have this as high as I do, I mean, obviously I like the movie, but I wanted to put it pretty close to Boogie Nights, because this is another scenario where Wahlberg is surrounded by an excellent cast. You've got Christian Bale was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Amy Adams was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and she lost to Melissa Leo, who won for this damn movie. And Bale won as well. So you had...
And Marky Mark was nominated.
Like, yeah, you had both supporting winners, and the only reason Amy Adams lost is because she lost to someone else from this movie. Add in noms for Best Director and Best Picture, and I think this might be... Actually, Marky Mark was not nominated.
He wasn't?
No, he was not. Yeah, I mean, it's easy when you think of a David O. Russell movie just to assume that everyone got nominated, and maybe it is a bit of an injustice that Wahlberg didn't get nominated for his portrayal of Mickey Ward. But again, I think this is probably the most successful critically of the Wahlberg catalog. As good as everyone else was in this movie, I think there was much more for Wahlberg to do in this than there was in Boogie Nights. He was absolutely the glue in each movie, but he did have to carry much more of the weight here, not just with acting, but with the physicality too, which is something he brought to Lone Survivor. And as a boxing movie, if you're portraying a boxer, you do have to bring that physicality to it. And I absolutely think that he did a great job there. And I think boxing is kind of a good metaphor for his performance in this movie, because he was literally, like Mickey Ward's style, was toe-to-toe slugging it out with his opponent. That's kind of how Wahlberg was in this movie, going toe-to-toe with Amy Adams, with Christian Bale. And I absolutely think that he more than held up his own. It was absolutely a passion project for Wahlberg, something that was very important to him. He wanted to make sure he got on the screen. And they've been talking about the follow-up, doing another movie more centered around the Arturo Gatti fights, which I think he just died a couple of years ago. So, I mean, that's a bummer that we didn't get that during his lifetime, but I would absolutely love to see another portrayal of Mickey Ward from Mark Wahlberg, because I think the first time around, everything was phenomenal, and I guess I could use more of a good thing, especially if there's actually more story to tell.
And I feel like this movie kind of sums up his career kind of perfectly, because yes, much like Boogie Nights, he was the glue. He kept it. He got it from point A to point B. He was there to guide along, and he kind of got out of the way and let them do their thing. he was toe-to-toe. Like, he had as much material in this. Maybe not as much as Christian Bale, but he brought just as much as, like, Amy Adams and Melissa Leo, who were fantastic. And he wasn't just toe-to-toe with them. Like, he was right there with them. Like, he carried this movie. You had 3 Oscar-nominated performances, and he carried it. And it's not like they outshined him. So it's a shame. Like, Golden Globes nominated him, but to not get the Oscar recognition. And I feel like...
when everyone else did.
Yes. And I feel like that kind of sums up Marky Mark. I'm probably adding to it because I've called him Marky Mark the whole episode. But... do people take him seriously still? I feel like he still has that Marky Mark stigma about him, even though he's done what he's done. Like, you see Ted come out. It's like, oh, Marky Mark does comedy? He's done comedies before. He's done good comedies. He does The Fighter. Oh, Marky Mark's doing, you know, this drama movie. He's done that. Like, I feel like to this day, I feel like Marky Mark or Mark Wahlberg is not as respected as an actor as he should be. He is a gigantic movie star, but he's not just a movie star. He's a legit actor.
I will argue that, you know, I'm 30, so I remember Good Vibrations. But
I do too.
If you talk to a kid that's 20, they don't know Marky Mark. I mean, all they know is Mark Wahlberg, the guy that was in The Departed, the guy that was in a bunch of movies we didn't even mention, Invincible, Rockstar.
I'm going to mention a bunch because, like, I have a bunch of also-rans.
Exactly, but that's my point. Like, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch were such – it's a punchline.
Maybe it's a time thing.
And it's a time thing. It's a punchline. And it's only a punchline, I think, because the guy has become so successful. It's almost like you have to, like, take that shot at him because what he's doing now, for the most part, you really can't. Sure, Max Payne sucked. Whatever. It's a video game movie. They all suck. It was different, at least.
Like, it was trying – I'll give – Max Payne was not good. I will give it credit because it wasn't – a standard action movie. It tried to be something different. So
it
even
failed,
when it sucks, like, it was trying to be something different. But I don't know. I had a bunch of also-rans. I have The Big Hit on there, which was early in his career. Goofy, like, fun action movie. Three Kings, really good.
Three Kings and The Perfect Storm are a couple that I've already mentioned before a couple times. I like them a lot. They probably... I feel like one of them would have probably made my list. Perfect Storm would have made
Perfect
it
Storms.
Over Departed, probably.
Yeah.
But, hey, maybe I'll talk about a different, I don't know, like Departed's less well-known than The Perfect Storm.
We had Ted, which I liked a lot. We've talked about it a lot.
We did an entire episode on it.
Yeah, The Lovely Bones, I think, kind of goes under the radar. Like, not just his performance, the whole movie. Like, I feel like that movie is a lot better than history remembers it being because... you know, it was Peter Jackson. It didn't get the award love that I think everybody thought it would with Peter Jackson coming off Lord of the Rings and that cast
the
that he had. Tell me that's not an Oscar-worthy performance in that movie. Introduced us to Saoirse Ronan. Like, fantastic movie. I Heart Huckabees, I really liked. I really like Marky Mark in that movie. Mm-hmm. And then one of his, like, lesser-known, like, under-the-radar kind of throwaways, but I really liked the remake of Charade, Truth About Charlie, with him and I think Thandi Newton in it. Great movie. I mean, it was fun. Like, it was very well done for a remake of such a classic, like, great movie. It was actually a really good remake that did a good job, like, modernizing it and bringing it into this century, or might have been last century because I think it was still the 90s. But just a good movie, and he was really, really good in that role. So those are mine. And, I mean, I could probably list a couple others that I liked that I just left off.
For what it's worth, I mean, you mentioned Basketball Diaries. He's not in that very much at all.
No.
But that's a great movie.
Great movie. That's why I didn't make my list because that was just like, oh, they put – that'd be like the equivalent of putting Bieber in a movie for 10 minutes now. It's like, oh, it's a pop star just showing up. Like, he's probably not going to go anywhere from there. So, I mean, it's such a crazy career, and I still don't feel like he gets the respect he deserves as an actor. He is a movie star. I think people take him seriously as a movie star, but I think as an actor, I think people kind of underrate him, and I think he's done more than enough for people not to do that. But
yeah, I mean, like, legit, he's Academy Award nominated. That's always a thing.
Yeah. So no, I think he'll be there again. Like, I really don't think I don't think The Departed is going to be his only nomination. And I mean, and that's not just mentioning his producing credits. I mean, dude's produced a lot of stuff. Gave, you know, say what you will, Entourage is terrible, he gave his Entourage, like,
getting a movie for that.
Yeah, which made a big cultural impact. So I mean, he's carved out a nice little spot for himself as far as careers go.
He's doing okay.
Yeah.
If we've missed your favorite Mark Wahlberg movie, I can't believe that we have, because we've mentioned probably 20 Mark Wahlberg movies in this podcast. But if you'd like to send us your five, we'd love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com. Just for good measure, we'll read back to you our five, starting with Dave.
Number five was Fear. Number four was Two Guns. Number three, I think, was The Other Guys. Number two was Shooter, and number one was Lone Survivor.
My number five was Pain and Gain, followed by The Other Guys, The Departed, Boogie Nights, and The Fighter. That's it, 1-5 on Mark Wahlberg. It's going to do it for us this month. I have no idea what's going on in July.
Next week's our halftime show.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
That's like my favorite episode. It'll be our third halftime show. It's just our look back at the first half of the year.
There will be one Mark Wahlberg movie mentioned on that, I promise you.
Yeah, that's where we'll go back and we'll look at our top five movies of the year so far and just kind of look at the year up to date so far. So I always like the halftime show. I think it's a lot of fun. And then who knows what the rest of July holds. We're halfway through summer almost.
It'll probably be the second half of
the year.
Right. That's what it holds. But until then,
keep it up.